Hey guys, welcome back to the Tradie HQ podcast. My name is Dan, and in this episode, I interview Mike Kilcullen from Pleeco Energy. As you'll hear, Pleeco Energy offer a service to their clients where they, for $36.50 a week, they will install a solar and battery storage system on your property, which will allow you to store the solar energy that you don't use in batteries and then use it again at night or during power outages or during periods of peak load in order to save you money and also to support the grid network for the energy retailer. As you'll hear in the podcast, it's a really good program, and if your bill is, you know, in excess of $500 in a 60-day period, then you stand to save a lot of money. And as you can hear, Mike himself has a net cost of $0 for his power usage at home. So it's a great program, and definitely worth a listen. And as always, the details are in the podcast notes to reach out to those guys and have a look at it and get them to explain it to you. Now, this podcast is sponsored by the guys at Blue Diamond and Blue Star Rentals. So we've got Brad, Justin and Chris, the directors of the companies, and they're a great Perth-based company. Again, sponsors of Tradie HQ from the start, so they're really interested in supporting small trade-based businesses. So their primary business is generators, anything from your 2kVA petrol right up to, you know, 1,000kVA diesel genset. Not only do they sell, hire and service the generators, but they can also install them at your property with with an automatic changeover, automatic transfer switch and that sort of stuff. So on top of the generators and the big machines, they also do a full range of sort of ute toolboxes and under tray storage and that sort of stuff. So check out their website, which I'll put on the podcast notes. And yeah, if you need any of that stuff, reach out to the boys and they'll be able to help you out. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoy this podcast. As always, let me know if you've got any feedback. Leave a rating on the platform that you're listening to this to and share it with someone who you think might get something out of it. All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy.
I'll have to ring you back. Yeah, we can meet whereabouts. There should be a cafe around here somewhere.
Welcome to the Tradie HQ podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Tradie HQ, Australia's first co-working and business incubator aimed specifically at trade-based businesses.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Tradie HQ podcast. My name is Dan and I'm here today with Mike Kilcullen. Now, Mike is the Chief Operating Officer of a company called Pleeco Energy, who are building an energy company, and everyone's invited. So in order to explain that a bit better, I'll cut straight over to Mike and let him explain what Pleeco do, what their end goal is, and how people can get involved in all aspects of it from now. How are you, Mike?
Hey, good, Dan. Thanks very much. No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So Pleeco Energy, we started as a brainchild out of frustration of doing something to get solar and batteries out to people in the world. There's a lot of talk that batteries are unavailable, uneconomical, and we're proving that wrong. Basically, the deal with us, with the Pleeco project, you pay $36.50 a week, you get an installation fully installed on your house or your small business with solar panels, an inverter, batteries, and the smart software, and operated, maintained for 10 years and beyond. And we then amalgamate all those systems into a virtual power plant and support the grid or provide a grid-scale battery depending on what's needed in that area. The major difference between other systems or other projects that are out there and us is that we're owned by you at the end of the day. Every person that joins becomes a member of a not-for-profit, and when the infrastructure fund that's financing it disappears at the end of 10 years, the not-for-profit owns the whole project. They have ownership all the way through.
Yeah, right. So like you said, so there's a company involved at the moment who invested in for that 10-year period. Everyone pays $36.50 a week. At the end of that 10 years, then they remain as members. And yep. So what does their contribution at that point come down, or does it
stay the same? And
yeah, so we see this being a project life for the life of the panel. So the panel's, you know, 25 years. We want to run this project for 25 years. And after the first 10, their weekly payment would go down to somewhere we think is going to be around $5 to $10 a week. And that will get you about $50 to $60 per week of power. So my house, I've had the system in for 2 years as being a bit of a guinea pig. I'm now net zero with my Synergy bill. I get paid by them for the rebs in the summer, and I pay them in the winter. But I've gone from having around $500 to $600 per 60-day bill to having net nothing. So I'm just paying basically the $36.50 a week. So it's been amazing for my home. Everyone can see the power that's being used. It's got a backup circuit, so if the grid goes down, like we had in the storms a couple of weeks ago, you walk out and flick a switch and you're back on your battery power, and you can live on your battery and your panels for as long as the grid's down, if you're careful with how you use your energy.
Yeah, right. So with the backup circuit and the batteries, so you're saying that even in the event of a power outage, you still have that capacity to run back off your batteries?
Yeah, so the backup circuit is completely separate. It's not islanded as you would know. When the grid goes down, the inverter has to disconnect under Australian standards. Our inverter does that on the grid side, but we have a separately wired circuit, a backup circuit back through the switchboard, and you can run off that for as long as your battery has juice or as long as the sun keeps coming up the next morning.
Yeah, right. And so what is the standard install capacity of the batteries?
We do a 6.6 kilowatt PV panel install. It's a 5 kVA inverter and 7.2 kilowatt hours of battery, which is probably the minimum you would need to get through the night on a medium-sized bill. Certainly becomes economic if you look at Synergy's populace in the southwest. The median is about 18 kilowatt hours a day that people would use. The typical bill is around sort of 250, 300. Anyone that's down to about the 200 per bill will be saving them money.
Yep.
Over the term of the project.
Mm.
So it makes sense right now to get batteries and solar in the Pleco project.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because what you've explained basically means that there's no one's going to be worse off by adopting this system, are they?
Yeah.
So they're
as long as they're, depending on how they use their energy, yeah. You know, you might have to do some switching of how and when you use the power, but anyone with solar would know that, you know, they put the pool pump on in the middle of the day or they
during
do the washing, the drying, the daylight hours. And it doesn't mean you can't use the power at night. It just means you're conserving your battery to get you as far through the night as it can before you have to go back and suck it in through the meter and pay for it.
Yeah.
And I guess the thing with us is we're very keen to not take people off grid. We want to be connected to the grid. We want to be connected to the internet so we can see the systems. We can do something in an amalgamated fashion for the grid. So we can form a grid scale battery. Right now we've got half a megawatt hour of battery installed in the Southwest grid in the past 2.5 months. And we can double that within a space of weeks.
Yeah, by upgrading the battery capacity.
Yeah.
So just explain to me and the listeners what it is that a virtual power plant does. Like, why is it beneficial to the grid? And as you said, why is it imperative that you got that, or that Pleco maintains connection to the grid? What service does that provide?
Yeah, so if you look at that at a few layers, you know, the popular one is the Tesla battery out in South Australia. If you have a battery that's associated with a solar farm or a wind farm, it's going to help smooth and support the production from that generation element. If you have it located at a substation or in a local park, for example, it can support and help the local substation network. It can support the suburb, but it doesn't immediately support the house. We push the battery down to the lowest level we can so that having it in your house, it's supporting you first. You're the one that at the end of the day is paying for it. Whether you pay the Pleco project or whether you pay it through your tax dollars, you're paying for the infrastructure you use. So if we put it in your house, you get the first beneficial use of everything it does, whether it's on grid, whether the grid's down, you get to use the energy first. And then we can talk to every installation we do over the internet, amalgamate them together, and then we can push and pull, and that's the main things that helps the grid. We can push and pull, we can support frequency, we can provide capacity in the network, we can provide a grid battery by, rather than a community battery, it's a community of batteries that we're all together in.
Yeah, yeah, like a crowd fund for power.
Exactly.
So when, say for instance, Synergy do put out a request to you guys and say, hey, Pleeco, can you inject some power back into the grid, does that basically take power out of the user's battery?
We've got a deal. Part of our deal is that we'll leave them no worse off. So, you know, an example we often use is a hot day in Perth in southwest WA. Everyone comes home, puts their aircon on, and all of a sudden the grid is groaning under the extra load. We're already helping by virtue of our people being on their batteries, but if we were to push from the battery out into the grid, we're becoming a generator. So we would do that for, say, that just that 2 or 3 hour peak at the end of the day, and then we would have a deal where we'd take the power back in again at a cheaper rate later on in the day when the grid is not under so much stress.
Yeah, so you guys would have that agreement in place with the retailer to say, look, we'll do that, but we need some return for it.
We don't have it right now, no. But in time it makes economic sense that we've already got this asset in place, and we can use it to help the community.
Yeah, right. So that is the future then for Pleeco, is to get to that scale, to become a contender and sort of be able to make those deals on behalf of the members.
Yeah, well, we're at the scale now. We've got a half megawatt battery installed across the southwest right now. We will look at doubling that with our first deal we make to make it a megawatt hour battery, and we'll be the second biggest battery in WA.
Right.
You know, we're growing really quickly. We've got 150 people waiting for their – sorry, 78 as of today have been installed. There's about the same amount waiting for their installation, and a hell of a lot more on the pipeline as people hear about us. Mm. Everyone understands it's a good deal.
Yeah, definitely. And I think aside from the no worse off clause and obligation, but along with this, and you did show me before, is that each – member and person that sign, or you know, household that signs up, ultimately gets their own building management system, don't they?
Yeah, so they get their own app. They have a portal login, so I can see right now what's happening in my house. I've got 2.3 kilowatts coming off the roof. The battery's getting charged. The house is using part of it, and I'm not giving or taking from the grid. I know typically, any time between November and May in Perth, it's just beautiful weather. In the afternoon, my battery will be full, and then I can choose to put it back in to the grid or do something else with it, you know, put the air conditioning on so that the house becomes part of the battery as well.
Yeah. And so is that a choice that you make as the individual client, or is that just something that, like you say, you can be aware of?
Yeah,
like,
as you become more educated about where your power's going, I know, and the whole family now knows, if it's going to be a hot day in Perth, they put the aircon on early because the battery's full. There's no point waiting till everyone comes home. You can use the aircon now from the free power that's falling from the sky onto the roof, and cool the house down so it's cool for the night time.
Yeah, and I think with me as an electrician, as sort of a big part of what I do now is power logging. You know, so I'll have people who have got issues, whether it's commercial and domestic, whereby they believe that, you know, they're being charged too much for what they're using. And so then they get me to come out.
Have you ever met anyone that doesn't believe that?
No. And to a lot of my clients' credit, you know, some of the times it has been a faulty meter. Other times it's been where they've got an appliance that's using an amount of power that they were unaware, you know, and, you know, typically they're, you know, storage hot water systems and those sorts of things.
Yeah, I've got one that I'm embarrassed to say this as an engineer, electrical. But when I first put my system in, I found there was this massive load that was coming on 3 times during the night. It was the storage. I thought, yeah, cool, I got solar hot water, but it was a storage with a booster wasn't on a timer, and it was coming on 3 times a night, heating the barrel up on the roof and letting that nice hot air into the air over my house and doing no one any good whatsoever. No. So now I've got it on a timer and it comes on once, so I've got a hot shower in the morning and a third of the cost it was to run. But I can see that from the smarts that are built into the installation we do. And down to, you know, the background noise in your house. Everyone thinks that, you know, turning TVs off and computers is going to save you a lot. But, you know, I've got a background noise that sits around 400 watts and I'm happy with that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. For the sake of the time it takes you to
turn off a TV and, you know, the frustration and, yeah, for the sake of 400 watts, it's, yeah. So this,
I mean, they're calling the phrase energy in abundance. You know, we've got so much energy, we can choose what to do with it now. Mm. It really gives you a really good sense of freedom and not guilt that, you know, walking around flicking the lights off, we'll walk around flicking them on.
Yeah, and that's I think, I guess that this is sort of been a development from the implementation of a battery system, isn't it? Like, that's always,
yeah,
been
exactly.
Thing.
Yeah,
because being able to use the power, because I mean, you know, with a 5.5-6 kilowatt system during the day, you know, there's not many people that would typically use that unless they've got their aircon on full.
No, not at all. And what do you do with it? You know, there's only so much you can do. If you've got it put away in a battery, then it's there when you come home at night. You know, you're coming home in the evening, sun's gone down, your solar panels aren't doing you much good there unless you've stored them.
Yeah. And so we're looking at a line graph at the moment. Is that the information that typically would be available to all customers?
Yeah, everyone will get something like this. So yeah, we can, and there's something like 81 data. This is a really, really smart inverter that collects 81 data points every minute. I just choose to have a look at a select few, basically to make sure that both strings of the panels are working, make sure the battery is getting charged, and just to see when it gets flat during the night. So, and we will do this for, not only can people do this themselves, but part of our deal is we'll be looking at every system every day and trying to spot the issues that we can help people use their power better and educate the community. You know, we've got a community Facebook page for the people that have an installation under this project called Pleco Connect. But you need to be part of the project to join that group. But they're sharing information already. You know, do you see this? Do you see that? There's a dashboard that shows an instantaneous view of what's happening with the battery and the panels. And because that grabs a snapshot, it might be that you've turned an appliance on, you see a big power spike, and it looks like it's coming from the grid rather than the battery. But it's part of the smarts is the battery gets protected and it just ramps up slowly rather than going on and off all the time with an intermittent load.
Yep.
So it's when you see the chart, you can see that happening, and you can see over time that the grid is completely or almost completely untouched by this system as it goes through its normal operation. And this is all happening in the background. You know, people that aren't techo geeks like me, they don't care. The lights are on.
Yeah, yeah.
And the power bill's down.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, to me, being a bloke and being competitive, I would almost see this as well in the community of being like a competitive sort of thing, like who can, you know, use the least amount of power from the grid as possible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's people out there. There's a scale, a dial on our front dashboard, which is what your percentage of grid independence. And I hover around sort of 85 to 90, but there's people we know that are on 99, 100% grid independence.
Yeah,
they've smashed their bill out of the park, basically.
Oh, their ROI, yeah, it'd be crazy. For you guys, what is the next step? So is it how many people have we got?
So we're funded. The initial stage of this project gives us $50 million of infrastructure funding, and that lets us do roughly 5,000 installations over the next year and a half. We're planning to get those out. The critical part of that is just people knowing we're around, you know. So we're relying a lot on referrals. We're doing the typical sort of home show. We're not a big company. We're pretty much a startup. There's only a few of us. Teams split between Dunsborough and Perth. And we're just trying to educate people that there's an option out there that's going to save them money and make them part of a community energy project that'll go for a long time and save them a lot of money.
I guess as a bit of a side, what have you guys found to be the most beneficial, or, you know, what have the best lead conversion platform in terms of your advertising? Is it referrals?
Look, we think that instinctively. We haven't got enough to know. Our proposal is that we go out and we do 1,000, and then we'll analyse that 1,000, and we'll be able to be educated. At the moment, we've done 120 installs since we thought of this.
Yep.
I don't think that's a big enough database to know. We know when we get out in the community, we get sign-ups. So yep, whether that's going to a local community show or a information night or the home show or, you know, the building show or something like that, when we put ourselves in front of people and tell a story, you know, 7,000 times in a weekend, then it hits home. People like saving money. Yep.
And so with the, I guess what you're also collecting is a massive amount of data potentially. I mean, obviously right now you get all of this information about when people use power, you know, what times during the day, what the effects it has and that sort of stuff. Is that, again, is that something that you guys put out to the members in like by
No,
virtual?
We're not sort of sharing that data. I don't know that they would, you know, anyone really knows what to do with it at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
There's people that can see in the long term there'd be some use for that, but it's more presenting it to them as useful information. So knowing that your battery's full is quite an empowering thing. That's a very simple piece of data. I've got a full battery. What do I do next? Yeah. I can then choose sending it back out at 7 cents per kilowatt hour or buy it later on in the day at 30. So, you know, you make the choice and I always default by turning my aircon on.
Yeah. So it's I did touch on them before, but so just confirming that as the user, you do have that option. So you can say export to grid.
Oh, you can set it up. You can say not to do it, but you have that option, yes,
yeah.
As the user. I wouldn't bother using it, to be honest. I just let the inverter figure it out. Yeah. So it is smart enough to know that when the sun comes up in the morning and you start using power in the house, it'll use the power produced by the panels to do the house loads first. It will then fill your battery, and only when the battery is full will it export back out to the grid.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's optimized for self-consumption. Yep. It's optimized to make your bill the lowest it can possibly be. So you don't have to think about it. You can just set it and forget it.
And let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. So all I do is say, look, it's a hot day. I know I'm going to want the aircon on later. I may as well put it on now.
Yeah.
If I had a pool, which I don't, but if I did, I'd be putting the pool pump on to come on at 1 o'clock rather than 8 a.m.
Yeah, yeah, or later in the day and run the risk of it overrunning the
sort of capacity of the sun. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be putting it on at 4 o'clock when the sun's going down and it'll just drain my battery.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. But there's another side to this as well, which is the installers.
Yeah.
So as electricians and solar installers, I guess there's – and we spoke about this before we started, but to me, it's solving a couple of massive issues that typically small companies have.
Yeah, we've tried to be very, very conscious that we started as a community project originally in Dunsborough, and that we always want to use local Sparkies, local CEC installers to do the installation, and talking to them and figuring out what gives them sleepless nights. And it was things like, you know, warranties, health and safety, being aware of changing regs. You know, the Tradie HQ guys would know all this. They'd be their typical problems. Security of payment and the sales funnel. And we've tried to solve for a hell of a lot of those with what we're providing for installers. So we manage the warranties, for example. We have a set health and safety regime that we educate people on. We do the marketing, the branding, we do the sales, we get the sale, we close it, we do the Synergy and Western Power approvals, we get the initial design done, we deliver the gear to site, and the installer rocks up and does the installation. Once he's finished and it's online, we then take over the first and second line tech support after the install's done. So we're trying to take away all the headaches that your typical one-man band would have to deal with him and an apprentice and bookings and all the rest of it.
Yeah, logistics.
And just let you do the job you're good at. Just let you do the sparky work.
Yeah. And so what would be the onboarding process for guys out there and girls who are interested in becoming installers for Pleco?
Well, we've got a website I'll get you to put in the show notes.
Yep.
It's basically plecoenergy.com.au/installers. It does a brief rundown of what we do and what we expect you to do for the installations and some undertakings that, you know, if you do this, we'll do that. Basically, you get the installation done, you get everything onto the SDC processing, you finish it all off, you give us your certificate of completion, you've got it connected to the internet, and we'll pay you 7 to 14 days later. So not like the you know, some of the bigger companies out there that hang on to it for as long as they possibly can. We know how you guys operate. I've been there, and I know what a difference it makes to get paid quickly when you've done the job.
100%. And again, it just builds that relationship. Like you say, you know, you guys are a startup, and so, you know, it would be much more beneficial to build a network of people happy with your service.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who want to refer the product and yeah, help the greater.
And we're not out there to go and do the installation and walk away. We're building a relationship with this customer for the next 25 years. So we want them to be happy, and we want the installer is the crucial part. You know, that once you're done, you walk away, and they only hear me over the phone or online. They don't have that personal contact. So the installer is really important. They are the guys that go out there and really sell the system and educate people from day one. This is what you're going to expect. This is what you're going to see. So we know how important these guys are to the future of the community energy project. The other thing is that the early part of our referral is using installers to do it. So if you go out there and you have a good experience and they refer the neighbour, we'll know that you're the installer that created that lead. So we will make sure, A, you would get that job.
Yep.
And B, that we'll have a spotter's fee, if you like, for every install that someone comes along and brings to us. At the moment, we're just figuring out what that looks like, but it's a significant amount, you know, for basically doing a good job, and you get rewarded for it, and you can build your business on it. You know, we will have enough at the moment for guys to do sort of half of their work through us, and just build it from there.
Yeah, and I mean, with the 7 to 14 day terms, that's a great line of cash flow for a small business.
Yeah,
you know, like that gives you a lot of freedom to focus on, you know, other areas that you might want to push into, and having that sort of sit in the background and help you along.
And particularly, you know, with us looking after the capital with the gear up front, you know, that's a bit of a double-edged sword. A lot of guys saying, well, you know, I miss out on my markup that I put on the gear. Okay, fair enough, but you also miss out on the headache of having to order it, get it delivered, and actually, you know, remembering that you've got this big line of credit at the local shop for this gear, and it's not inexpensive. You know, this stuff sort of adds up, and it's a bit of a worry in the back of your head that if you've got this big account at the local electrical supplier, where you look after all that part of it.
Yeah, definitely. And what... as time goes on, there obviously is also going to be a service obligation from you guys. Like you say, you manage the first and second line technical support. Do the installers get the subsequent service work for the same client that they did in the...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We'll always go back to the installer first and make sure that they're aware. And also it's a learning, it's learning for both parties, I guess. The good thing about our system is it's pretty much a cookie cutter in terms of we're installing the same thing every time.
Mm.
It's the same arrangement of panels. It's the same inverter. It's the same batteries. And once you've done it, you know, once or twice, you could just about put this thing in your sleep. It's really pretty straightforward. The tricky thing, I'd imagine, from a guy is, you know, he's got one inverter one day and another inverter the next day, and there's a whole... you know, range out there. They have to be over all of them and over all of them changing all the time. So we're proactive in keeping people educated on what's happening with that, and also training them in how to put this thing in as safely and quickly as possible.
Yeah. And so the interface that you guys use, the modem and the controlling software, that's all 4G, is it? So it's wireless as well, or does it need to be...
No, it's all through LAN connection into the house's broadband at the moment.
Yep.
So we do actually have the installers run a LAN cable for every install by preference, unless it's absolutely physically impossible. The inverter's Wi-Fi enabled, so it can connect to the home Wi-Fi. We've had problems with that in the past, only in so much as the house owner goes and changes their network password to get the kids off the internet or something. And then our inverter's locked out. So if we have a LAN cable, it just solves a whole bunch of stuff. If they move the router from where it was when we installed, which happens, you know, in a house, and all of a sudden it's out of range, we don't realise, and the thing just drops offline. So
yeah,
it's part of the arrangement is that they've got to provide broadband access. And I imagine in time, you know, things will go to 4G or 5G or LTE or whatever it is.
Yep. Oh, that's good. Mate, I think we've covered a a fair bit there in terms of Pleco.
It's a big project and there's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
But we're very new. You know, we've only launched in December last year and we've already done over 75 installations through Southwest and Perth. And we see ourselves just getting bigger and bigger and we're looking for installers to come and partner with us. So
yeah.
If any of your listeners are interested, get on there and give us a yell.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a fairly decent network of Sparkies and I know a lot of those guys are solar installers, so I think there should be a decent uptake here. But on top of that as well, I think, you know, as we discussed from a consumer point of view, it seems like a no-brainer.
It is. We've got a whole bunch of guys on the that we interview all of our first installations and see how they think about the system. And one guy who was one of our very early adopters, even in the interview after a few weeks of the install, goes, I'm still trying to find out what the catch is and I just can't find it. I'm saving money and I'm making my own power and I still don't understand.
Yeah, that's it. And I think just, again, the whole idea of that platform that you guys provide, giving that visibility of power use and consumption in real time.
Yeah,
is a massive, massive benefit. So, well done, mate. Thank you for coming and having a chat. Thanks to Daryl for introducing us. And, I look forward to having you guys involved with Tradie HQ as well.
Yeah, that'll be great. We'll come down and hang out.
Yeah, good one.
Cheers, Dan.
All right, Mike. Thanks, mate.
Thanks.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Tradie HQ podcast. For more information, head to tradiehqwa.com.au and follow us on Facebook at the Tradie HQ podcast group. Have a great day.